I'm going to say this as straight as I possibly can. I am begging you, if you're a parent and you've got kids there, that this subject is just too upsetting for your young children. Please get them out of the room or change the station. We urge you to exercise parental discretion.
Hey, Uncle, how much you give me for this radio, huh? Now, this hot little old radio, man, is worth plenty of rubles, man. It's got lots of juice. You got shortwave, police call, boats. Late at night, man, you get out of space. Come on, Uncle, just make me an offer. Now, this is a $100 radio, man. It's got a clear tone. Boy, that's clear as a mother's old bell. Let me see. Come on, baby. Show the man your power, baby. Blast him! Give him some of that tone! Oh, man. You radio, you mother!
Hey, Jim, what about TV? Do you like TV?
What? New thing, Jim. The television. Oh, pictures.
Yeah.
No pictures.
Why not?
Everything these days is pictures. Pictures and a lot of noise. Nobody even knows how to talk. Just grunt at each other.
Babies that were sacrificed. Forsaken.
I will probably have nightmares tonight about it.
From the nightmares, to the running around the room when they disclose, to the latching on, to the crying and saying, Mommy, 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 don't go out, because if you go out, they're going to kill you. Threats, intimidation, fear.
Now, if you're going to stay cool, you got to wail. You got to put something down. You got to make some jive. Don't you know what I'm talking about?
Well, that's all I'm saying.
You're a bad man. You're a very bad man.
Rejection of parental values. Unusual interest in books on Satanism, black magic, or witchcraft. Obsession with rock music groups using satanic symbols or references. Rejection of friends. Preference for being alone. Meditation, chanting, use of new vocabulary.
Is it the force of evil? Does it disrupt? Is it a force for everything negative?
There's two kind of laws, honey. One for the rich, and one for the poor.
He sees all and knows all. He's wise. He's kind. He is fair. He loves truth and goodness.
Listen, you screwheads. Here is a man who would not take it anymore. A man who stood up against the scum, the dogs, the filth. Here is someone who stood up.
Hey, buddy. This is the state of New Jersey, and I don't care who you are.
Hi, welcome to the air.
Yeah, I was just wondering if you could give me some specifics on Sun Ra at Benefit over the weekend?
No, this is a phone-in talk show called Aerial View.
Oh, okay.
So hey, we're on the air.
Okay, I'm sorry.
You've ruined the beginning of my show.
Well, Marjo Gortner would be perfect to play David Koresh.
Thank you.
In that movie.
You're absolutely right.
Okay.
Marjo Gortner. Okay, this show is, you heard about it last week. I announced what the show was to be about, and I think, despite my wanting to veer from that topic, because there's so much other things to talk about, so many other things to talk about, it's a sports for non-sports fans show, which means, sometimes it's hard to be a woman. Giving all your love to just one man. No, I'm sorry. Sometimes it's hard to be a man because you're expected to know about a lot of things, including home repair, automobile repair, and yes, sports. And if you're not a sports fan and you're not up on what's happening in the sports world, you can appear a fool in front of your other male companions. I won't say friends, because most of my male friends are not sports fans either. So when we get together, we don't talk about the latest big game or what championship is going on or who won what. We talk about art and religion and philosophy and politics and the opposite sex. But there are times in my personal life, and I'm sure in yours too, when you have to interact with people you have nothing in common with. And for women, it's easy. They can talk about any number of things, including, latest fashions and their you know, other things. They have other things that bond them, is what I'm trying to say. I guess they have other things that they can talk about. I mean, their lives are much more, you know, they're, you know what I'm trying to say here? Their worlds are larger. Whereas men, you know, they have tunnel vision, and their worlds are small, narrow, confined places, so they have to speak about sports. And what I would like to do on this program is help educate some of us who are sports illiterate by getting some real sports fans and people who know a thing or two about what's going on in the world of sports today to share some things with us so we can sound knowledgeable next time we have to speak on the topic. Well, you had a phone call there, and the phone call is gone. The phone number here is 201-678-7743. This program is Aerial View, and we're here till 7 p.m. Hello, welcome to the air.
Hey, how you doing?
Okay.
So, like, I don't really care about sports. I got other things I'd rather be doing. I mean, I'm not knocking sports, but there's lots of things to be doing.
I don't care about them either, but I think what I'm trying to say, the reason I'm doing this show is a simple one.
Right.
Is so that when you are in a situation and you have to be in a room or a place. Well, it's not so you could look macho, but I'm sure you have a... Do you have a job, sir?
Well, yeah, kind of.
Okay, what do you do?
Well, I'm self-employed. I'm a photographer.
Okay. Do you come in contact with male clients and you have nothing to talk to them about? I mean...
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Okay. Wouldn't it be nice if you could say, hey, how about that blank game last night? Did you see?
Well, sometimes, you know, if I know I'll be in that situation, I'll pick up the paper. But, it's just, I don't know. There's other things to the world, I guess.
That's true. You're absolutely right. There are other things in the world.
So I guess the key is to know what sports are happening at that particular time of the year.
That's exactly right, and I would like to know that. I would like to have someone tell me that. I mean, for instance, I know football season's over.
Oh, it is.
But what's happening now, right. Now, today? What's going on? Is it the end of hockey season? Has anybody won the Stanley Cup yet? I mean,
hey,
I don't know.
That's a good question. Okay. I tell you what I do, though. Len Berman, Channel 4, that's where I get my sports. He's the man. And I, in that respect, I do appreciate sports because it's, 3 minutes of compact, everything that's happening, and he's good. So it's interesting. You don't have to sit and through, like, a zillion innings and, you know.
Okay. Sounds good. Thanks.
So that's my tip.
All right. Hello. Welcome to the air.
Hi. How you doing today?
Not too good with this phone system, but otherwise fine. How are you?
Okay. Well, unfortunately, I too have nothing to do with sports. But what I do is when people start to do that sports talk in front of me, I shut them down. I just tell them that I learned to say no to sports. Works every time.
You learn to say no?
Just say no.
Okay, thanks.
Bye.
Thanks a lot. Whew. Okay. Listen, this is what I want. This is what I would like for the rest of this program. I would like guys who are specialists in guys or girls. I don't know why I'm saying guys. Excuse me, that was extremely sexist. Look, I'll slap myself. I would like anybody who is an expert in a particular sport. I mean, they've played it. To call and give us a glossary, you know what I mean. Tell us what the blue line is, what the icing is, that kind of thing. Hello, welcome to the air.
Yeah, I am an expert. I know everything about every sport ever played.
All right.
And I've played them all.
Okay, so pick one. Give us a few words that make us sound, you know, knowledgeable.
All right, hockey is in the playoffs right now.
Yes.
And they're going for the Stanley Cup.
Right.
You know what offsides is when the puck goes before players go into the blue line. Now, a two-line offside is when you pass the puck from one blue line to the other blue line over the red line, which is in the center of the ice.
Wow. That's a bad thing to do, I take it, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Then you get a face-off in the neutral zone.
Face-off in the neutral zone.
Right. And in basketball, you want to have a guy post up so the guy can throw the ball down low to the other guy that's posting up so he can get into good position to score.
Oh, okay. Well, we learned quite a few things from you.
We learned post up. We learned red line, blue line. We learned, what was that, doubles offsides? What did you call it?
Two-line offsides.
Two-line offsides?
Right.
Okay.
And you know, a wrist shot is far more important than a slap shot.
A wrist shot, which means you're using the wrist to make the shot.
Right.
Okay,
instead
I get you.
Instead of using all your force into a slap shot.
Right, that's a finesse shot, I take it, right?
Right.
Okay. So if I was talking to a guy, like my UPS delivery man, and he said, did you see that wrist shot that, give me the name of some hockey player. Who's this kid, Eric Lindros?
Yeah, he's
okay, if he said, see that shot Eric Lindros made in that, I'd say, yeah, what a nice finesse wrist shot. You know what I'm saying?
Right, he picked a good time to use a wrist shot instead of the slap shot.
Right, and that way he wouldn't think I was, Okay, thanks for calling.
Okay, bye.
Hello, welcome to the air.
Chris?
Yes?
That guy summed up the whole evening's thing. You did this topic recently.
I did this topic?
Yeah, within the past year.
When?
You did. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm just trying to remember when this was.
Well, you definitely did. You wanted, like, sports from a lay perspective so that you could have something to talk about. And then you talked about your father didn't really talk about sports with you. And it was, about 6 months ago.
Well, I may have veered off into that topic, but I don't know that I did it as a show.
I vote for veering away from it.
Well, okay. Thanks, sir.
Something to do with sex.
All right, great.
All right.
Sports and sex. I don't remember doing this show. Jeez, I wish. I don't know. It's not. You know, I don't archive this show. There is somebody, however, who does that. A fellow by the name of Jim Teamer, who is the archivist of this program. If he were listening, he would call me. Hello, welcome to the air.
Hi, this is Martha from Linden.
Hello.
Hi. Who's this, Chris?
Yes, it is.
Hi, Chris.
Hi, Martha.
Is playing tag in AAP with naked women considered as a sport?
Yeah, but it's not a professional sport.
Oh.
It's what they call an amateur sport.
Oh.
Okay?
I'm confused. Bye-bye.
Bye. Well, if Jim Teamer were listening to this program, and sometimes he doesn't listen to it, sometimes he just tapes the program, I'm sure he would be calling in. I've been thrown off the track now. Gee, I'm left without a program now. Hello, welcome to the air.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, okay.
I'm a sports fan. I'm a fairly heavy sports fan, but I hate talking sports with other sports fans because I, without trying to sound pretentious, go on such a mundane level that the conversations usually take place.
Are you saying they're way below you? Beneath
yes,
you?
Basically. Basically, I think that's really what it comes down to.
So your love of sports is so, you know.
No, it's not even my love of sports, but I think it's people gravitate towards the obvious things and never look behind what really team successful or teams win.
Okay, the really important
aspects. And announcers are the worst offenders of the bunch. Sports announcers are horrible.
You don't like any of them?
Very few.
Okay. It must be a tough racket, huh, being a sports announcer?
Well, I think, you need a lobotomy and a playing career, and you're set.
Okay.
Good speaking voice, which, Chris, you should think about it. You know?
Sports announcing?
Speaking voice.
I don't know. I would like to call, it would have to be some bizarre sport, though. It would have to be highlight or something.
Yeah, well, that's a fast move.
Something where people win and lose money. Something with gambling involved. Hey, speaking of gambling and sports, you know that guy who owned the Philadelphia Eagles?
Yes, that was
Mr.
great.
Mr. Toes?
My God.
Toes? What's it, how do you say
I'm
his
not
name?
I'm not sure.
Leo Toze is suing.
Like there's big trucks with that name going by all the time.
He's suing a couple of casinos in Atlantic City.
Right,
all right, well, you got to go.
I have a messenger. Can you hear?
Okay. He's suing a couple of casinos in Atlantic City. Hello, welcome to the air.
Hi, Chris.
Hi.
I have kind of I can sort of identify with your problem because I, follow baseball exclusively.
Okay.
So I have to, fake it with everything else.
All right. But you could at least say, hey, I'm a baseball fan. I really don't follow blah, blah, blah. And then you could start reeling off stats, baseball stats.
Yeah, to a degree. And also, if you're not a fan at all of anything, and in your office, like me, you can't get FMU. It just like a half hour maybe with the all sports station, FAN, every day, and you can pick up just enough cliches to muddy through, I think. Like in baseball, if the Mets or the Yankees are doing well or bad, like from now until, say, the middle of June, you can say, well, it's early yet.
It's early yet. Let me see if I can get these. Okay, it's early yet. Okay, what else? Give me some more.
Also in basketball, the regular season is about to end, which is really strange because then the playoffs go on for about 2 months. And so...
people really love basketball, don't they? I just didn't know to what extent. They just love it. They love it.
Yeah, and it runs about 8 or 9 months.
Now, let me see if I can guess by what was in the window of my local sports clothing store that the San Antonio Spurs and the Chicago Bulls are doing really well, right? I mean, that's
the
based
Bulls,
just
yes,
on what was in the window. The Spurs aren't?
I don't think so.
Oh,
I think...
wait a minute. It's the Hornets. The Hornets. I saw Hornets shirts, not Spurs shirts.
You see, I don't know. I don't know basketball.
You don't know basketball? Okay.
Except the Knicks are doing really well.
Okay. The Knicks from New York, they're doing well?
Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Okay, it's because of that. It's because of that fellow with the who slicks his hair back.
That's
right. What's his face?
Pat Riley.
Right.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
With the expensive suits. And...
he was great in One Day at a Time, by the way. I loved him as the janitor.
Yes.
He was a real talented comedic actor, and then who knew for this talent with the basketball?
Yeah, kind of a Ronald Reagan move from one career to another.
Exactly. Well, so listen, before you go, in part one, really strange offbeat baseball term to us or something baseball related, so that we could sound like we know what we're talking about.
Oh God. It's hard to pull this stuff out for civilians because it's like...
explain the infield fly rule.
Oh, God. You know, I can never remember the whole damn thing.
Is there, like, actually a chapter or something devoted to it?
The rule is probably, like, at least a paragraph.
Okay.
It's like if there are zero or one men out with runners at first or second or first and second, and the infielder has a reasonable chance to catch it. It's an automatic out.
Okay.
I think that's it.
That's it. All right. Okay, well, thanks for calling.
Okay.
I
think it's simply sufficient to say infield fly rule in a conversation somewhere, and people will think you know what you're talking about. And what's more important in this life, actually knowing what you're talking about or looking like you do? Speaking of knowing what he's talking about, this Leo Tozé man, the owner of the Eagles up until recently, he claims that the Sands Casino and Resorts International Casino, he's suing two different casinos for the same thing. He's claiming that they kept him intoxicated and he lost millions of dollars gambling there. I think in the case of the Sands, it was like $2 million, and then with Resorts, it was another million or something like that. Anyway... This is a 78-year-old man who is probably still a millionaire, I would think. And he's... do you remember that scene in Albert Brooks's Lost in America where they lose their nest egg at the casino? The character played by Julie Haggerty, she gambles it away. And Albert Brooks goes to the manager of the casino, played by the guy who did all the sitcoms, Gary Marshall, okay? He goes to Gary Marshall and basically tries to get his money back. And Gary Marshall is like, you don't understand. This is Las Vegas. This is gambling. You lose money here. That's what happens. And apparently Mr. Tozé, he never understood that, or at least he doesn't understand that now, that it's called gambling. And gambling means that you lose. You may win, yes. You may walk away with lots of money, but then again, you may lose, which is what he did. But now he's saying that they kept him intoxicated because they kept bringing him drinks. Now, here's a man who apparently doesn't believe in free will or in any kind of willpower. And he's saying he was an alcoholic being taken advantage of by these casinos.
Can you picture this scene? Like, this guy comes walking in, and there's these guys at the back of the casino, and they're going, hey, it's that alcoholic, that millionaire alcoholic. I got an idea. Come here. And they start whispering to each other, and they come up with this plan that they're just going to keep bringing him drinks. And they do that. You know, they have some really nice young cocktail waitress who, you know, comes by every half an hour or so and says, here, Mr. Toze, here's your vodka tonic, courtesy of the Sands. And he kind of throws it back and goes back to playing blackjack and losing his shirt. But this took 3 nights. This is not, he didn't lose $1 million in 30 seconds. This is over the course of 3 evenings, and it never occurred to him that maybe he should, you know, hold back on some of the alcohol while he was at the gaming table. Maybe it wasn't a good idea to be drinking like a fish. And now this man, who is not responsible for his own actions, has decided to sue to recoup his losses at the gaming tables. Now I ask you, was this guy, he used to own a trucking firm. Was he hit in the head by a truck? Did the Philadelphia Eagles take him out onto the field and kick him in the head thinking his head was a football or something? What exactly happened to Mr. Toze that he thinks he can sue a casino to recoup his losses? Speaking of casinos and gambling, great movie you have to see. There's a scene that takes place in Las Vegas. The movie is Indecent Proposal. The new picture with Demi Moore and Woody Harrelson and Robert Redford. The most ludicrous, insane movie I've ever seen, but it looks great. It's like, it is without a doubt one of the better looking movies I've seen this year. I mean, the cinematography, everything is in perfect focus. Everything is beautifully lit. It just looks incredible. And it's a story, basically, of a man, very rich man, who I guess could be Leo Toze, but, you know, younger, who was played by Robert Redford, who just sees this woman and decides he wants to sleep with her. But, hey, there's a little obstacle. She's married. So he decides he's going to offer her and her husband $1 million, you know? I'm sure you've heard about this movie. Oh, by the way, you're listening to Aerial View on WFMU. Upsala College East Orange, and the phone number here is 201-678-7743. So he decides, Robert Redford that is, you know, he's going to pay this woman essentially to have sex with her. Gee, this is something new. And there's all this stuff, you know, about, gee, well, should we or shouldn't we? $1 million would really be great because he's a struggling architect and he needs the money to build this house. It's going to show everybody what a great architect he is. And they decide that, yeah, they'll do this. And she goes to bed with Robert Redford and gets paid $1 million. Okay. So now anyone would be happy at that point, right? Anybody would say, okay, well, great, you know, $1 million just to sleep with a guy. And who gets hurt? Right? But the movie goes on after that. See, it doesn't end with Demi Moore sleeping with Robert Redford. It goes on. It then goes into all this, you know, this the after effects, which is Woody Harrelson, the husband, getting really upset that his wife had sex with another man and enjoyed it. That was a thing that hurt him. He was hurt because she enjoyed it. Now, I don't know if you've been to the movies lately, but boy, there's some good ones out there. And Indecent Proposal, I'm telling you, will have you laughing. It's a great time at the movies. Go. You have to go because it had me laughing from beginning to end. First of all, any movie that begins with the reciting of bumper stickers can't be all bad. I mean, the movie opens with the characters on a bus and the close-ups and the whole thing, you know. Well, the one character, the Demi Moore character, is on the bus, and she's saying that someone once said, if you love something, set it free. If it never comes back, it wasn't yours, or how does that go? I can't remember that. if it doesn't come back, hunt it down and kill it. You know, like those guys who were going to the Marines wear those shirts? It's that thing. She says that thing, and that's the beginning of the movie, and it doesn't get any better from there. It goes downhill in terms of the philosophy. Now, women all over this movie theater were heard to say, you know, whether to each other or to the mates or whoever they were, he wouldn't have to give me $1 million to sleep with him. So, you know, all over the movie theater, women were deciding that $1 million was, hey, like, an unbelievable deal, because for $200, they'd spend the night with Robert Redford. So there's a couple of problems with this movie. First of all, casting Robert Redford character should have been played by somebody else. You know, some 78-year-old guy. They should have brought in who's like Bob Hope or something. You know, now that would be a lot harder decision. What if it was Bob Hope, and he was offering $1 million to Demi Moore? Do you think it would be so easy? Do you think she would just, okay, yeah, I'll sleep with him? That would take several more montages, because it was just one montage, and she slept with him. But if it was some old creepy guy, some guy near the end of his life, you know, George Burns or something, and he actually wanted her to actually perform sex, well, you'd have a much different movie there, believe me. Hello, welcome to the air.
Hi. No woman is worth $1 million to have sex with.
Well, what if you... Let me ask you something. You're saying that from your perspective, which is you don't have much money. But let's say you're a billionaire. Let's say $1 million is like you pulling a dime out of your pocket and flipping it. Would it matter? Would you care about $1 million?
No.
Okay. But so what if you saw some really... What you thought was a really great woman, and you wanted to sleep with her, but except she was married. What, you know, would you let $1 million stand in your way?
No, but I would let the marriage stand in my way.
Oh. Are you married?
Yes.
Okay, so you're coming from that perspective. You're coming from the perspective of a guy who's not a millionaire, doesn't have much money, and is married.
Yeah.
So you kind of empathize with the Woody Harrelson character. Did you see the movie?
No, I didn't, and I won't waste my money.
Well, I'm telling you, you'll have a good time.
Yeah.
You'll have a good time.
I don't know.
You'll have a good time. No, you'll like it.
See, I wouldn't waste $15 to go see a movie.
But to me, it was like...
It's beyond.
It just kept
stupidity.
Hitting new peaks in stupidity, and I was having a great time. I have to say that. I have to say... Thumbs up for Indecent Proposal. Thumbs up all the way.
Yeah. Maybe you'll see it when it's on tape. Or maybe you'll just wait till it's on HBO.
See it when it's on tape and get it as the second free rental, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
Get it when it's free rental night. And you and your wife will sit around and boy.
I'll watch that with Pink Flamingo or something like that.
Something like that, yeah. Anyway, is there something some sports thing or something you want to add to the show? I mean, although we have veered from that topic, you're welcome to.
Well, I'm unusual because I grew up. My father is definitely completely out of touch with the sports world, and I don't know. I feel that I grew up in a very different family, and I didn't fit in school and shit because of that. Oh, sorry. I didn't mean to say that.
Uh-huh.
But, anyway.
Well, you got to go now.
Oh, because I...
And thanks for calling. The number here is 201-678-7743. I'm listening to Aerial View on WFMU. And we were talking about, we began this show talking about sports for non-sports fans. And I forgot that, you know, that the people that listen to this radio station are non-sports fans, too. And I may be sampling the wrong audience, you know, like market research lingo. I may be sampling the wrong audience. Welcome to the air.
Hi. I'm not a sports guru, but I give a better explanation of the infield fly rule than that other guy, if you're interested.
Go right ahead.
The thing to understand is what is the rule about? I mean, why have the rule The situation it's trying to prevent is the following. If you have, for instance, two men on base, first and second, and someone hits an infield fly, okay, a short ball in the air, a fielder can cause, the question is, you know how a runner has to advance if the ball's not caught?
Yeah.
Right? Well, the fielder can fake out the runner by looking like he's catching it, but then at the last minute dropping it, which means all of a sudden the runners have to advance a base.
And he could throw out a runner.
And he could throw out the runner and get the guy running to first base because he's not out either. So he can cause a double play by not catching the ball on purpose.
Why would you even bother catching a ball then? There's like no incentive to catch the ball.
In that situation. If you catch the ball, it's an easy out.
Okay.
You do have to complete the double play.
All right. But if you got two, you would do that. If you have one.
Right. They would do it a lot. And the runner wouldn't know whether to run or not. So they decide that they don't want that. And so whenever there's a situation where that could occur, they say the batter's automatically out. So even if he doesn't catch the ball, the batter's automatically out.
Oh, so they can't force a double play.
Right.
I get you. All right.
That's the infield.
You finally made it clear for me. You know, that's amazing. Thanks.
Okay. Bye.
Hello. Welcome to the air.
Yeah. Hi. Actually, the last caller brought up something that I thought was kind of, because I'm one of these people who's in the same position of you. It's like, you know, I kind of wish I knew more about sports just so I could get into, you know, sort of normal guy kind of conversation.
Right.
And he mentioned hello?
Hang on just a minute.
Yeah, you have two callers now, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll listen.
Okay.
And he mentioned that, like, well, his he had to sort of make it up because, like, his father wasn't into sports. I think most people do get it from their fathers.
Yeah.
And in my case, it was that, I mean, my father was a jock when he was a kid, but he's English.
Right.
So it's like, I mean, I was, like, hearing about stuff like football, which means soccer, of course, and cricket and stuff like
and
that.
And snooker.
And it's like, I mean, right, none of this stuff makes any sense to me at all. And it's like every once in a while, still to this day, 30 years later, he will, like, sit me down periodically and try to explain cricket to me. And, I mean, it's impossible.
And do you tell him it sounds like a stupid game?
It's just so insanely complicated that I think you have to sort of grow up playing, unless you're, like, one of these West Indians who play it out in Prospect Park.
You know, it's weird because where I work, there's a lot of people who grew up with cricket as mm-hmm. their game, and they go out back and during their lunch break, they don't play a short game of baseball or kick a ball around or something. They play cricket.
Mm-hmm.
It's very bizarre.
Yeah, I know, and it's one of those things that just kind of goes on forever, and they're like, you know, things like, I mean, there's like a position in cricket.
There's all kinds of things you have to do.
Silly mid-off, which I gather is sort of the equivalent of a shortstop in baseball.
What's it called?
Silly mid-off.
You're kidding me.
No, I...
Silly mid-off?
Silly mid-off. So there's something you can drop with your cricket-playing friends.
Did you say, like, silly, like putty?
Yeah, like silly putty.
Silly mid-off.
MID-OFF.
Silly mid-off. And he's the cutoff man.
I guess. It's like a sort of... not like one of the outfielders, but not quite an infielder. But it's like
now in cricket, don't you have to you have to throw a ball at a thing?
Yeah, a thing called a wicket.
All right, and a guy's got to try to hit it, right?
Right, and the idea is like the guy, the pitcher or the bowler has to try and knock over the wicket.
But now why?
Why? Well, why does anyone do any of these?
No, well, wait a minute. Now I don't understand something. If he's trying to knock over the wicket, uh-huh. why is the guy trying to hit the ball?
Well, because if he hits the ball, then the guy doesn't knock over the wicket, for one thing.
Oh, okay. And if he hits the ball, does someone have to catch it?
Yeah, there's like the various out, you know, the silly mid-off and the rest of these, you know, the outfield, all of which have like these very, you know, very peculiar names. But
is the wicket
mid-off is
behind
the hitter? Ever stuck with me.
Yeah, the hitter stands in front of the wicket, does he not?
Yes,
or
he does, yes.
So he's sort of like a goalie.
No, he's sort of like... The wicket would be where the catcher would be in baseball,
right.
wouldn't it?
Right.
It'd be like if you were playing baseball and you were trying to knock the catcher over.
Exactly.
Right. So
okay.
Because they have less people in England.
I don't know if that's that because I mean there are various people the thing is you know the pitch or the you know instead of a diamond there's
Chris,
a pitch,
can I ask you something?
Like a
hang on a minute.
Are you interested in this?
I am, because
really?
I mean, I know a lot of people who play cricket. Yeah.
Okay. Huh. Are you going to talk cricket with your?
I'm going to ask who the silly mid-off is.
Yeah, but I mean, are you going to? Are you going to use this? Are you going to, like, go to work and say, hey, did you see that cricket game? I mean,
hey, for all I know, it could be no sillier than baseball. I mean, you know, what makes baseball so logical?
Well, you
I
don't
mean,
care about baseball. You
I don't
want,
care
you,
about any of these
right.
things.
You just
I
want to be able to talk about it.
I think these things...
The first time in my life I've ever, actually ever had an opportunity to talk about
it. Well, I'm glad I was able to be that release okay. for you.
Great.
Okay, thanks for calling.
Okay. Oh, by the way,
yeah.
one thing about indecent proposal is that,
uh-huh.
I mean, if you want something that would really emphasize the you know, the inherent creepiness of the whole thing, imagine Danny DeVito in the Robert Redford part.
He's already played too many of those parts.
Yeah, he played that in what was that the movie about money where he tries to take over the
other
you know,
people's money.
Other people's
yeah,
money.
Yeah,
yeah
I mean
yeah,
he
yeah.
was like that in The Penguin too. I mean,
yeah.
The Penguin, wasn't he?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like
yeah.
after some beautiful woman, and it was really creepy. That's he always plays that role.
Yeah.
Taxi. Everything.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Well,
anyway,
thanks for calling.
Well, I just thought I'd share the silly mid-off thing.
Okay, great idea.
Okay.
Okay, I'm sorry, sir, you were saying.
That's okay. Well, I didn't want to be rude to him. I was just surprised you were that interested.
Hey, you got a paper and pencil? Can you write something down for me?
No.
No, I have an
I'll
idea.
I'll try to remember it, though.
I have an idea for a future show.
Okay,
I don't want to forget it.
Okay.
It's going to be the If I Was Casting Director show,
mm-hmm.
which means that you get to recast your favorite, you know, parts
oh,
in
yeah.
movies. And we'll talk about, you know, upcoming projects that haven't even hit the table yet.
You want to do a show of that?
Oh, yeah.
That's
I want to do If I Was Casting Director.
Right.
And, you know, we'll talk about who should have been who.
Well, my friends
now
and I...
What?
I'm sorry.
Go
my
ahead.
Friends and I came up with this movie idea called Fool's Day about these guys who play practical jokes on each other and it gets out of hand. And we
uh-huh.
always wanted Chevy Chase and William Hurt, you know, because they were so unlikely. We just thought that was a good idea.
Chevy Chase and who?
William Hurt.
Someone just coughed.
You have another person on now?
Yeah, we do.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and they're coughing.
Sure.
Anyway, you think... We have an asthmatic on the line. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, Martha?
I fear baseball.
Martha?
Yes?
I say you take something for that cough, and you
like,
get back to us.
Like arsenic.
Okay.
I'm sorry. 201-678-7743 is the phone number here.
Anyway, the reason I called was because... I've seen the promo for Indecent Proposal over and over, and there's a line that Robert Redford gives. I think it's the night you can walk away from, but the money could last a lifetime. But when he says it, it sounds like he's saying, but the money can last a lifetime. It sounds like he stumbles over the line. I've listened over and over, and I can't believe
he says the bunny can last a lifetime?
He says the money. It's like he stumbles on one word. I'm not even sure that's the word, but... It's so strange. I was just wondering if you had heard that.
I can't say that I did.
You're probably too busy laughing.
I saw the movie. Robert, let me give some. I'll grade the performances. Okay. Demi Moore. I've never really liked Demi Moore. I mean, she is really hot looking, and she's really hot in this movie. I've never thought that she was a really good actress. She's passable. Woody Harrelson. I liked him a lot in White Man Can't Jump, and he's kind of good in this movie. I think actually he was probably the best person in the movie. I in terms of acting
yeah.
ability.
Yeah, he's enjoyable.
And Robert Redford was just like trying to make some money for the Sundance Institute. It was obvious. He was
right.
the only reason he had taken this part was to fund some other pet project.
He's getting into the Marlon Brando phase of his career.
No, it's not even that. It's like. Marlon Brando, at least if he takes a project, and God knows how many he's taken in the last however many years, he's up there, and he is part of the thing, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, go look at Superman again, and tell me that Marlon Brando was not in really putting everything he had into being Jor-El.
It's hard to say.
What was Superman's father's name?
Jor-El.
Jor-El?
Yeah.
Okay. He was putting everything into that Jor-El thing. Go look at a movie like The Freshman.
Yeah, but that
you know
that
came
was,
out a few years
that
ago.
That was more than 10 years ago. Superman.
Okay, but what about The Freshman?
The Freshman was very recent. It was good. You know.
Okay, he was good. I mean, but Robert Redford is just like he's walking through this part.
What about Christopher
know?
Columbus? Did you see that with Brando? I mean, I didn't see it, but
no, I didn't see it. I didn't see the
one.
I saw
that one to defend his son from the murder charges.
Look, Robert, Marlon Brando.
has more talent.
You like Marlon Brando, I gather.
I just think he's a great actor. Yeah, I mean, well, I mean Robert Redford. I'm not saying he's a bad actor.
He's always been kind of flat, I think. Always.
He just always is Robert Redford to me. He's never been able to rise above or leave that baggage behind of being Robert Redford. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Sort of like Richard Dreyfuss.
You want to know who my favorite actor is?
Yes.
Well, I've got a few favorite actors.
Christopher Walken.
No.
I took a guess.
No.
Okay.
I was going to say Robert De Niro. And I like Robert De Niro. I think Robert De Niro is a great actor. I mean, I think he's the finest. He's just fantastic, you know? But I think even a shade better than Robert De Niro. Well, you're just going to have to guess.
Pacino?
No.
I didn't think so. It's the only one I can
Let me
think
let
of
this other person take a shot here. Hello, welcome to the air.
Why are you so mean to me?
Hello, welcome to the air.
Yeah, actually, I was just talking to you before, but I just wanted to leave you with one remark, is that this sort of reminded me of, is that I think that Robert Redford is going to be the Don Ameche of the 21st century.
I think you're absolutely right. I think you're right. They're going to haul him out when he's 70. Okay, the phone number here is 201-678-7743.
Yeah, I like Robert De Niro. I have to say that I think he's a good actor. I think we're in a very lucky period right now. It's a good time to be alive in terms of actors. There's a lot of really good ones. Hello, welcome to the air. Welcome.
Hello.
Welcome to the air.
Who is this?
It's Chris.
Chris?
Yes.
I'm afraid of baseball.
Martha?
My mom used to wake me up with a bat. Every time I turn the channel and see a game on, I scream.
I wish I could help you, dear Martha.
Help me!
201-678-7743. Anyways, it's a good time to be alive. If you like acting, that is. There's so many good ones. Let me do a short list of who I like. In terms of cinematic acting, we're not talking theater because I don't know the first thing about them since I don't go, I can't afford it. But in terms of movies, I like what's that guy's name? I always forget his name, but I liked Steve Buscemi from Reservoir Dogs. I thought he was really good. I thought he was a standout in that movie. I thought he was the best actor in that film, notwithstanding Harvey Keitel. I like Harvey Keitel. But I think Steve Buscemi's a guy to watch. He's an up-and-comer. Okay, I liked the guy who played Barton Fink. Why can't I remember his name? He just had a movie out, Turturro, John Turturro, right? I like the guy who was in what was the name of that movie? The Crying Game. He was really good. He was nominated for something or other, but he was good. I like hello, welcome to the air.
Yeah. So who do you think's a shade better than De Niro?
Are you waiting for me to say this, huh?
Yeah, man.
I'm just wondering.
It's not Nicholson, is it?
No, I'm just wondering if I should have people guess. I would like for someone to figure it out.
Okay, well, let me.
I would really like someone to figure it out. That would be the best thing.
Okay, give me a second. Give me a second, all right?
Think about it.
Is he a modern mainstream American
actor?
He's
a modern mainstream American actor.
Yeah.
And I don't think Al Pacino's all that good anymore. I used to think he was great. I mean,
well, in The Godfather, he was incredible, huh?
Yeah, Dog Day Afternoon, he was even better.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I don't know. I'm drawing a blank. Is he a young man?
No, he's an older man.
Older man.
Yes, that's right. Macaulay Culkin.
Mm. Okay, I can't even guess. I got to go. Could you wait 2 minutes till I'm back in my car?
Sure. Hello, welcome to the air.
Okay, I know it's not Tom Cruise because you don't like the dorky type.
No, I can't stand Tom Cruise. In every movie he's in, he pollutes as far as I'm concerned. He pollutes. I mean, I'm not saying he's a bad actor.
I know who
but
you're talking
he
about.
But he suffers from Robert Redford syndrome, which is he cannot escape his cruiseness.
Chris,
there's no way.
Chris, this is Mike from Hoboken. I know who your favorite actor is.
Okay.
And mine.
Okay.
You don't have to give any more hints.
Okay.
It's Robert Duvall.
You're right.
I knew it, Chris. I know you like a book.
You're absolutely right.
I know you like
a
book.
I wish I could give you a prize.
Chris,
I really wish.
It's an honor just to guest for you on your show.
Hey, Mike, you're a Hoboken resident. How about you? I give
not
you,
anymore, Chris. I'm moving in 2 weeks.
I give you some tickets to go see Penelope Houston. No, never mind.
I'm moving in 3 weeks. I'm going to Denville, Chris. I hope I can get you up there.
Denville.
Yeah.
All right, well, good
Goodbye
luck.
Goodbye, city. Hello, hey, Hooters.
Yeah. Hooters is in Denville?
Yeah.
Let me ask you something, Mike. What were you paying where you are in Hoboken? What's your apartment cost?
It's a condo. It's owned. And I'm selling it. I sold it for, well, I don't know if I should say this, but I sold it for $91,000.
You did okay for yourself there, Mike.
Eh.
All right. Lots of luck in Denville.
Denville. Denville. I hope I can get you up there, Chris.
Ville. Thanks.
Bye.
Okay, well, he guessed it. He guessed a man. I just think he's so versatile. He's so able to change from role to role. He's so able to be subtle. You know, he's really good. Robert Duvall is really good. Hello, welcome to the air. And I feel bad that I've missed his last three or four movies. I just have not seen them.
Hi. I think that Robert Duvall is great, but I think that Robert De Niro sucks.
Why?
Especially the last, I don't know, 10, 15 movies that he did.
Oh, he's trying to fund this whole Tribeca thing. He's another one. He's another guy that's got his thing going on, and he's got to fund it by taking crappy parts. I mean,
why?
Well, they're not crappy parts, but let's put it this way. I don't know that he's got the kind of script rejection device that he used to have. I mean, I really don't know.
Oh, he probably just wants to make money.
He's got so much money tied up. He wants to have a production company. He's got a production company. He's got a production company and a restaurant. Now he's branching out into records. He's gonna start putting out soundtracks. And the money for all that jazz has got to come from somewhere, you know. And it comes from him doing, you know, a lot of movies. Now I'm a guy who thought that Robert De Niro over the years would begin to withdraw and be more selective and would do maybe a movie a year, you know?
Well, I guess it's also probably the studios. They want him to be the same, you know, and just have the public and just make money for the studios.
Yeah.
But he goes along with it, and I think that sucks. It's sad.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right.
But I agree about Robert Duvall. I was suspecting that that's the one you would like.
Okay.
He's a great guy. Anyway, that's it for me.
Thanks.
Bye.
Hello, welcome to the air.
Yeah, I just want to say Harvey Keitel forever, Robert De Niro never.
Well, now, why is that? Now, why do you place Harvey Keitel above Robert De Niro?
Because he is what Robert De Niro was. Robert De Niro is all soft now. You look at him and he's all soft and, you know, he's trying to just become Mr. Nice Guy now.
Well, are you basing this on The Bad Lieutenant? What are you basing this?
Well, Harvey Keitel sort of just done the same thing for, I guess, it, you know what I mean? It's the expense of never being like an A-list in terms of being a bankable
I just don't,
leading name.
I love Harvey Keitel. I mean, I'm telling you, I love the guy, but I just don't think he has the range that De Niro is capable of. I don't think he has that range. I haven't seen him demonstrate that range. And maybe I just haven't seen the right things.
Well, have you ever heard of that shriek? How can you defy that shriek that he did in the last two movies?
The last two Keitel movies?
Yeah.
What shriek? What do you mean?
Come on, that whine at the end of Bad Lieutenant?
I didn't
see. For the last 5 minutes?
I didn't see Bad Lieutenant. I didn't see it. Maybe if I had, my opinion would be much different.
But how
maybe
about Reservoir Dogs when in that final scene when he was on the, when he was with Mr. Orange on the thing? He did that. Remember that shriek he did?
It was like an animal. It was like an animal noise, right?
He,
was
he
like,
did 5 minutes in yeah. Bad Lieutenant.
Yeah, he did that? Why, was he dying? Don't tell me.
No, it was sort of some, you know, it was just...
All right, I take it back. Harvey Keitel is better than Robert De Niro. You're right.
You know, look at this that movie, This Boy's Life. I mean, that...
Well, it's just another time that Robert De Niro can haul out his badass portrayal of a nut. I mean, it's unfortunate because he's become sort of, you know, like
with
the Jack guy that Hollywood calls if they want a psycho nut.
Well,
you
he's
know?
Just like Jack Nicholson. Jack Nicholson always has to play Mr. Cool.
Well,
he'll never play a thing where he's, you know, not Mr. Cool.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about some of our other favorite other actors. Let's not dwell on the biggies. Let's talk about up and comers or guys that who don't get their due.
Hulk Hogan.
Yes, and Rowdy Roddy.
No, he's no good. Well, did you ever see the movie No Holds Barred?
No, I saw the one with the
Suburban Commando.
No, I saw the one with the eyes.
Oh, that was Roddy Piper.
They Live. Is that
the one where he said, what was that line that he said when he was about to kick ass? He had like some great line where he's like, I got to do this and I got to kick ass and I'm about out of time. So, it came down to meaning he had to kick ass now.
Oh, okay, yeah. Well, I don't remember that. But hey, great movie.
But
thanks.
Hulk Hogan in No Holds Barred is one of the greatest performances of the 80s because he was so bad in it. They couldn't even show him acting.
Uh-huh.
They'd have to show the other actors reacting to his acting.
Uh-huh.
That's how bad he was. It was his first big movie, and you just got to see a lot of reaction shots.
Oh, great. I like that kind of movie.
Well, one of the all-time greatest movies.
Thanks.
Bye.
I think, hello, welcome to the air.
Hi. We're talking about actors that don't get their due?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, Bruce Campbell.
Bruce Campbell from?
From Evil Dead 2 and The Army of Darkness.
Yeah, yeah. I remember him.
He's a wonderful
and
man.
I think he's good. And also, Lance Henriksen. You know Lance Henriksen, who was... he's been in a lot of things, but lately, the last couple of things he did... he did the Alien movies. He was the second Alien.
Okay. Oh, he was behind the costume?
No. He was the guy who played the robot in Alien 2 and Alien 3.
Okay, I'm not too familiar.
You remember
with
the guy, Lance Henriksen? Okay. He's a great actor. And another guy who's like the Ernest Borgnine of the 90s who was that guy? What's his name? I can't remember his name. But he was in Raising Arizona. He was the guy who was the John Goodman's sidekick. Raising Arizona. I also think Nicolas Cage is good. Speaking of Raising Arizona,
I know someone who looks like Nicolas Cage. By the way, I met Bruce Campbell.
Really?
Yes, at the Starlog comic book shop in Ridgewood a while ago.
Wow. Was he there buying comics or signing something?
He was signing stuff. We walked in and he was just sitting with his feet up on a card table. We thought he was an employee.
Wow.
But he wasn't. And then he conversed with us and signed.
And treated you like a human being?
I'm sorry?
He treated you like a human being?
Yeah, he was very respectable. I mean, we talked to him about all the classic lines. He, he signed pictures for us, which I happen to have framed. He wrote, Dan, I'll swallow your soul. Classic quote from Evil Dead 2.
Wow. Very good. Thanks for calling.
Okay, thanks.
That sounds like a thrilling moment in any fan's life. Hello, welcome to the air.
Paul Newman.
Can't forget him.
Can't
forget Paul Newman. I like Paul Newman.
And he's on it. It's very selective in his roles. So
and Paul Newman has the ability to escape his Newman-ness, I think. I think he can go outside, and you could look at Paul Newman and forget who he is. You know, he's got the ability to do that.
Absolutely.
And Redford and Cruz just do not.
Absolutely.
You know?
I have another call. I'll call you back.
Okay.
Thanks, bud.
Another call will call me back. Thanks for calling. Welcome to the air.
Yes.
Yes.
David Hasselhoff. Knight Rider.
Yes, great actor.
All right.
Great actor. Hello, welcome to the air.
Oh, I forgot one more, Warren Oates.
Warren Oates, I loved Warren Oates. Warren Oates was a great actor.
Bring me the head of Alfredo Garcia.
Great actor. He's dead now, so let's try to talk about men that are still alive, or actors.
Well, you said Ernest Borgnine, and that reminded me.
Okay, thanks.
This show has been totally devoid of any kind of female input, or any... It's just been too... It's been too damn male. I hate it. I hate when this show becomes a men's club, you know? It's like leaving out 50% of the population. It's just sad. It's sad and pathetic. You know? Okay, well, next week, female actors on Aerial View. But let me get in a few more before we run out of time here. Vincent D'Onofrio. Vincent D'Onofrio is a great actor. He was the character Gomer Pyle in Full Metal Jacket, and he was also the writer in The Player, and he was one of the boyfriends in Mystic Pizza, I think. I didn't see it. And he's done some other things, but he's good. I like him. an up-and-comer. Watch him. And who is this other guy? This other guy? I'm all out of names. I tell you, I'm a person who stays and watches the credits just for that reason. But I should begin writing these things down. I never remember them. Hello, welcome to the air.
Yeah, Dennis Hopper. He's one. He's always convincing in anything he's in, I think.
Yeah, I have my problems with Dennis Hopper, though. I mean, I think he's done some great things, but he's done some real cruddy things.
True. He's like Rutger Hauer in a way, but they're always convinced, you know, he's great at playing an insane guy.
He has an intensity about him.
Yeah, just like Rutger Hauer does. You know, they do B-movies, Rutger Hauer, but he's always good. I never saw him not be good.
You're absolutely right.
You know?
You're absolutely right. Thanks.
You got it. Bye.
Hello, welcome to the air.
Did you mention Harry Dean Stanton?
Harry Dean Stanton, great actor.
Dean Stockwell?
Harry Dean Stockwell is good, too.
Yeah, they're both great.
And any other deans you want to mention? James Dean?
Yeah, James Dean.
Okay.
Okay.
James Dean Stockwell. Okay. Hey, look who's back.
Hey, go ahead, go over.
I'm running all over the place. 201-678-7743 is the phone number here. Bronwyn will be filling in for Fabio, and she'll be here in just a minute. Does anyone know where Fabio is? He's in San Francisco. That's right. Yeah. Hello, welcome to the air.
Hi. How about Patrick Swayze? Roadhouse is my favorite movie ever.
Patrick Swayze. The construction of his face is so bizarre.
Yeah.
If you look at Patrick Swayze,
he looks like one of the Terminators or something. Yeah.
He looks like he was carved out of something. I don't know.
Balsawood.
Yeah, he's a bizarre looking man. Okay, thanks for calling.
You're welcome.
Hello, welcome to the air.
Hi. How about Gabriel Byrne?
Gabriel Byrne is an excellent actor. Excellent actor.
And I think you were saying Forrest Whitaker before.
Yeah, and Gary Oldham.
Right. Right. And that guy that played opposite John Goodman was also, he played a punk played a punk rocker on Chips.
But, you know, those two guys, Lance Henriksen and that other guy, whose name I can't remember, they were in this biker movie together with that football player, Brian Bosworth, called Stone Dead or Stone Cold or something. Oh. And they were great. I mean, the movie, it was just like one of the stupidest movies. Stupider even than Indecent Proposal, if you could believe it. But they were incredible. They played these two the leaders of this motorcycle gang, right?
This is the guy that played opposite John Goodman?
What?
This is the guy that played opposite John Goodman?
Oh, no, I don't think... Yeah, one of them paid the Brian Bosworth character $1 million to sleep with him. That's right. Braun was adding that. Oh, what were you saying, sir?
Is this the guy you're talking about? Is this the guy who played opposite John Goodman?
Yeah, and I want that man's name before this program is over. I want to know who that was. Because
I've seen him play everything. He's played like everything from like a nerd to a bully.
He's a great actor.
Yeah, he's good.
But anyway, so like if you have a VCR and you can get like that movie Stone Cold or Stone Dead, I forget what it's called, Brian Bosworth action flick with Lance Henriksen and this other man who's... Hopefully, name will be provided for us before the show is over. Thanks for calling.
No problem.
Hello, welcome to the air.
Yeah, okay. How about Matthew Modine?
Matthew Modine. Matthew Modine I like. I like Matthew Modine. He's good.
Yeah, he has good brains to it.
Yes.
And I got to agree with Gabriel Byrne, so I was in the car. I just got out.
Okay.
Yeah, him and Johnny Turturro are both from Mills Crossing.
Yeah.
And real quickly about Robert Duvall.
Yeah.
A real treat for him, for fans of Robert Duvall, was the Twilight Zone episode he did.
Yeah, he did a few of them.
Well, one called Miniature. It's an hour long.
Yeah.
You only see it on New Year's Day when they run it all day on Channel 11.
Yeah. He plays one of those characters that's stuck in a...
museum.
Yeah.
And that colorized bit at the end was great.
Yeah. Robert Duvall did a lot of TV. He was a New York actor who in the early 60s appeared on a lot of TV series.
When he had hair.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's always great to see him show up. Thanks for calling.
Okay.
Hello, welcome to the air. Hello. Hello, welcome to the air.
Yeah, David Koresh is a pretty good actor.
I don't think so.
Hey, hello, welcome to the air.
Yeah, Chris, we're talking about Robert Duvall. How about his role in that George Lucas movie, THX 1138?